Good morning. Happy spring, almost. Welcome to the Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. My name is Jerry Flakus, and I'm the representative from the Board of Trustees this morning. We have a variety of announcements about church life and activities. Please read the announcements in the order of service, and be sure to take the order of service home with you as a reminder of the announcements. I have some additional announcements. The Art and Spirituality class will start meeting this Wednesday at 6 p.m. There is still room to register if you're interested. Look for the flyer in the foyer and or see Janica Yoder. Is Janica here today? Well, I guess you can't see her today. The Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church is holding a luncheon and fashion show to benefit our church after the service on Sunday, May 6th. All the proceeds from this very fun event will go to our church's general fund. Please set aside May 6th, Sunday, on your calendars. Gus Santo is organizing this event for us, and he will send out all the details today to the member list. Our monthly food pantry collection is sponsored by the Social Action Committee. This monthly collection is for the Pewaukee Food Pantry to help provide food and basic household goods for needy persons. Monetary donations will be collected during the offertory. Food contributions may be placed in the baskets in the foyer labeled the food pantry. Another announcement. Make sure in your order of service there's a loose leaf flyer. This is about the Lake Country Green Fair, which will be coming up on Saturday, April 21st. Please check out this announcement and help out as best you can. I invite you to greet those around you. Hey. If you are visiting us today, we particularly welcome you. Please sign the guest ledger on the visitor's table in the foyer. And there's a variety of information on the table in the foyer about our church and Unitarian Universalism. Help yourself to anything that interests you. So I will be in the social hall after the service if you have any questions about our church. Or if you've been visiting for a while and would like information about becoming a member, I'd be happy to talk to you about that as well. If you're visiting us with your children, it is our custom for the children to remain with us until after the story for all ages, at which time they go to their religious education classes. Your child is welcome to join them or remain in the service. If you go out the doors to my right and across the entryway, if there's a need for childcare during the service, classes will end at 11:15, at which time you can pick up your children from their classes. We always enjoy getting to know our guests, and if any members have brought guests, we would be pleased if you introduce them. Or if you are a visitor, please introduce yourself so we can welcome you. Welcome. We got somebody in front.
Debbie Clark, Lois Carroll. Does
it? Welcome. Mm-hmm. Are any others? Yes. Well, welcome. Well, one of the I guess one of the sacraments of our church is our coffee hour, our coffee after service. So you're welcome to join us for coffee and conversation. So please put your cell phones in the silence mode during the service. And I hope you find this morning service to be inspiring and interesting. This morning's speaker is Mark Brewer. He's one of our church members. He's a proud father of two adult children and spends most of his time these days managing software developers for John Deere, which takes him to many parts of the world. This is Mark's third sermon here at LCUUC, and today he'll explore the basic concepts of Buddhism using basic, easy-to-understand language and stories. Much of his material will come from the book No Self, No Problem by Anam Thubten, an accomplished Tibetan Buddhist meditation teacher. This topic was suggested by Diane Erickson, who won this silent auction fundraiser last fall. Thank you, Diane. Later this week, Mark will be in Nepal enjoying the beautiful scenery of the foothills of the Himalayas before he heads to India for work. But who knows, maybe he will gain some more insight about Buddhism while in Nepal and India. And now we have a testimonial by Greg Baldy.
Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, I am Greg Baldy, and I've been attending this church for about 13 years. And these remarks are my version of our ongoing series, Why I Support This Church, which we all suspect is a euphemism for why we all should support this church. I started visiting LCUUC when it was meeting in Delafield, two locations ago, soon after my daughter and I moved to Lake Country, and soon after my divorce. She was seven, about to turn eight then, and now she's about to graduate from college. I was going to say something about how I didn't know a soul in the area and how this church really helped turn a new town into a real community for me, how I found friends and tennis buddies and social activities in a place of retreat. First, just attending the services and those awkward social times afterwards, how I struggled with those. So many of us still do. But then there were book clubs and a Bible study. Yes, we did a Bible study for a couple of years. Jerry was in it. And Thanksgiving dinners in Socrates Cafe and a meditation group and now Tai Chi. How some really fine people reached out to me and included me in their circle when I really needed it. But I figure you've heard that all before from others. Then I thought I could say something about how this place was great for my daughter. So many wonderful families, great people, great kids, camping trips, retreats, RE. A place where she felt safe and made friends of her own. A place where we could connect together as a non-traditional family. And how, as she once put it, she didn't feel as much like a religious freak. Which reminds me of one of my favorite stories. Got a minute? Catherine was in sixth or seventh grade, and I swear this is true. I don't know that it's true, but I swear we think it's true. She was in sixth or seventh grade attending Kettle Moraine Middle School, and somehow the kids got to talking about religion at recess or lunch or something, and they were all asking each other if they went to church or not, or where they went to church, what religion they were, and all that. And at some point, some kids got very concerned that they thought Catherine would go to hell, at which point she replied, "That's okay, my daddy will be there." Those of you who know me well know I'm not creative enough to think of something like that, so it has to be true. But I digress. Suffice it to say, my daughter and I love the canoeing trips, the picnics, the retreats, the parties, and our new friends, which is to say this is a great place for families. But I figure you've heard all that before, too. Then I thought I could say something about how we all need a place to find quiet and a place where we can serve others. How being on the board and on committees, teaching religious education, and being a friend to others when they face their hard times gives us a chance to be of use and to express our deepest values and make our small difference, and how we all need that. Well, I figure you've heard that too. Nonetheless, I've been able to use some time up going over things you've already heard, because I got 4 to 5 minutes, they said. Then I thought I could say something about how my life changed, and Sundays became more complicated, and I was less lonely, and Catherine left for college, and how I attended less often, often missing for weeks or months at a time, and how I still tend to make it just once a month or so. For those of you who wonder where I am, I'm often in Madison. But how I still want to support this church, not so much as a place just for me, although I still love coming here, but that it would exist in this community as a place for others to find what I found here when I needed it so much. But I figured you've heard that all before, too. Well, I guess I said it all anyway. I had to say something, they asked. And when I timed this, I still had about 2 minutes to go. And suddenly I remembered that I wrote this song for our annual campaign back in 2002. And when we had just 35 members and 40 kids, and we were running out of room for RE, and we're tired of meeting on Sunday nights. And I realized if I played that old song, I wouldn't have to write anymore. Besides, it gets to the point more directly, and some of you have not heard it before. So if you just give me a second.
Thank you, Jerry. There's a chorus on this song. And if I, when I sing, it's called All About Money. I shouldn't say that with a pick in my mouth. It's called, the chorus is, the name of the song is It's All About Money, and I apologize because I know we're not supposed to say the M word. But it would be great if you'd sing along in the chorus. The first two times I sing It's All About Money, if you would just sing it back, then I'll be out of here in a minute and a half and we can get on to the dignified part of the service. Oh, wait, Mark is preaching today. We got real nice people, no brain dead creed. Lots of cool kids we don't have to mislead. We're into compassion, word and deed. There's just one thing we still need. It's all about money. All about money. All about money. Why we ain't got none. We could recruit some new members or one really rich guy. Buy a lottery ticket the gods might provide. Wait for a miracle, hate pigs might fly. Get it from our wills when we die, die, die. It's all about money. All about money. All about money. How we might get some. Now the church says that we ought to give them some. The truth is, without it, we wouldn't have one. So take out your checkbooks, let the blue ink run. But 2 to 4 zeros after the one. It's all about money. All about money. All about money. Now give your church some.
Thank you. up high. There's a land that I dreamed of once in a lullaby.
This reminds me of one other reason why we all keep coming here. It's because we have a really wonderful choir. Thank you, choir. Mindful of truth ever exceeding our knowledge and community ever exceeding our practice, reverently we covenant together. Beginning with ourselves as we are to share the strength of integrity and the heritage of spirit in the unending quest for wisdom and love. We light this beacon of hope, sign of our quest for truth and meaning, in celebration of the life we share together. Words in the order of service that we can recite together. I think we can do that even without a tune. Chalice, chalice, burning bright, help remind us with your light of how we'd like to live each day, with love and truth helping lead the way.
I once was a Baptist, and on each Sunday morn I'd be in church praying, just as sure as you're born. We sing there like angels in sweet harmony. But sin and salvation are no longer for me. 'Cause now I'm a Buddhist, I chant my mantra each day. But I miss that good singing in the old gospel way. We sing of O Buddha and the wonders of Zen. We'll meet in Nirvana. Yes, we'll be there then. Now my old friends don't like me since I shaved my head. And they all talk about me as if I were dead. My good old Zen buddies, they think I'm okay. But I can't get them singing more than one note a day. We sit here cross-legged, eating brown rice and cheese. And we chant out our mantra in four square harmony. We don't sing of salvation or a heavenly home. It's Zen gospel singing, just om om sweet home.
Thank you very much, Doug. That was very enjoyable. You know, I'm not sure quite why this is, but people paid lots of good money to get front row seats at a concert. Now, I'm not saying I'm really worthy of concert prices, but I want you to know, if you come up front and sit down, we don't ask you to give any more to the church, okay? So everybody kind of move on up. It's going to be better if we're small and intimate. Someday we'll be the biggest mega church in Waukesha County. But for now, come on up, and the children can come on up for our story of all ages. Now, I know I'm a big, tall guy, so I'm going to get down really low. People can hear me. Come on up, all you young people. You too, Al. How many of you have heard of Winnie the Pooh? Right. Anybody can raise their hand. So, I brought a few of his friends here. Do you guys like Winnie the Pooh? So, anybody know who this is? Piglet. Anybody want to sit up here and hold Piglet? Sure, come on up. What do you know about Piglet? You know much about him?
No.
No? Does anybody else know anything about Piglet? Yes? It's a pig. What about Piglet's personality? Anybody know? He's kind of nervous too, right? He's kind of scared. He's kind of hesitant to act, right? Anything else about Piglet anybody want to know? Share.
He's scared easily.
Scared easily. Okay. How about this guy? Eeyore? Yes? Who wants to hold Eeyore up here? You want to hold Eeyore up here? Come on up. Do you know anything about Eeyore?
Well, you see, he uses his tail.
He does. That's correct. And they pin it on. That's right. And he has a tail because he's a what?
Unicorn.
Right. What else do we know about? Busy, right. Does he have a big, long to-do list? So many things. Does he like everything to be kind of just so perfect? It's got to be just right, you know, if it's not quite right. Okay. How about, well, do you kids ever think your mom and dad are too busy? Do they ever say they're too busy to really have any fun, to go out sledding when it snows, ice skating? You have a question?
No, not exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Do you want to hold this one?
Isn't that a cow?
No, it's not a cow.
It's a donut.
It's what?
I
look scary. Come on up. You know what it is? If you hold it, you know what it is.
It's an owl.
Very good. And what do we know about owls?
They're nocturnal.
He's smart. Nocturnal. He's smart. What else do we know about
it?
Yeah. I like to think of him kind of like a you. Right? He's kind of wise, he's kind of intelligent, kind of misunderstood, you know, people don't really understand. He kind of pontificates about, should we do this or not? And we debate a lot and talk about it. But, you know, he's what? He's a nerd. Okay. So I have one last animal. Can you guess who it is?
Tiger. Tigger.
It's not Tigger, sorry, for all you Tigger fans. But it's Winnie the Pooh. Okay? So, does anybody want to hold Winnie the Pooh? Sure, come on up. Now, what do we know about Winnie the Pooh? Yeah?
He likes honey.
He likes honey. He loves honey. Does he love anything else?
Eeyore.
He loves Eeyore. He loves Eeyore. Yes? Right, red shirt like this one, right? Like this Pooh. We'll show him later, though.
What about that boy?
Christopher Robin. Yeah. But he likes Eeyore, too. Doesn't he like all of his friends?
Yeah.
Doesn't he like just to have fun today because today is today?
Yeah.
Right? Do you think all of us, even us little kids, do you think sometimes we're maybe too hesitant, we're too worried to try something new, right? Too worried to try something new because we're scared maybe we're not good enough, right? Or we think it's not going to work out like Eeyore, it's just going to be a disaster, or, you know, we're just too busy to try that new thing, right? Or we're too busy to have fun and eat the honey and see with our friends. So I think we can all learn something from Pooh, don't you? About enjoying today, enjoying this moment, enjoying each other, eating the honey. What do you like? What do you like? You like ice cream? Okay, then it's ice cream. We all like ice cream, right? Okay. So, think about Pooh. Next time your parents are all tense and worried and excited and too busy, remind them about Pooh today. So I'll take all the animals. You guys are going to go out to RE. I don't know who's taking our gals today. Okay. Follow this gentleman off to RE. I'll take him right now. Thank you so much for all your help. Thank you.
Thanks, Peter.
Can I have my Eeyore?
Now it's time to be in the moment for our joys and concerns. And if you've got a joy or concern you'd like to share, a special joy or deep concern, please raise your hand and the usher will bring you a microphone. And we'd like it if you tell your name so we can keep getting to know each other. And I'll light a candle for you and we can I'll share in the thought. And I'll light a candle right away, too, for our memorial candle. And today, a good thing to think about would be all the people who've been affected by the tornadoes we've had, and in our hearts we're hoping that they can find their way through all their difficulties and sorrows.
Hi, my name is Esther. I should have announced this last Sunday already, but my husband Jerry was in first of all, our curling club and Wauwatosa Curling Club together hosted the United States Senior Men's Curling. This was teams from all over the country, 62 teams they had. And they averaged each team, and they had some teams that were called seniors, some were super seniors, and some were masters. The older ones were masters. But Jerry was in the middle group, and his team, or the team that he was on, won that. So we have a champion curler in our midst.
I'm Josh. A candle of sorrow. I lost a friend last week. He was 26 years old. He died from an overdose. I guess a candle of hope for those who struggle with addiction to find the strength to recover.
I'd like to light a candle of sorrow for JT Hilligoss. He died of very unexpectedly of natural causes. I didn't really know him. I just sat behind him in study hall, but even I was affected by his great smile. And he just, when he looked at something, he really saw it, you know, and he was just a great kid. And this whole week really proved how great of a kid he was, and he brought the entire school together.
And my name is Terry, and I would like to light a candle for a dear friend and former member, Sally Plaw, who recently had her appendix and a malignant tumor removed. And let's keep her in our thoughts as she goes through further testing and treatment.
Hello, everybody. My name is Adam. I'd like to light a candle of hope for a coworker who lost his son this last week.
Hi, I'm Barb. I'd like to light two candles of concern and sorrow for two dear families that are good friends of ours, one who lost their grandmother and the other a very sudden death of their father.
I'm Al. If you would, John, a candle of hope for those searching to have a sense of peace in their minds and their spirits, confidence in their futures, and the ability to know they're loved, they're valued, and that they make a difference in our world.
My name's Ginger. I'd like to light a candle of concern for my mom, who's aging and ailing, and a candle of hope that my three sisters and I can help her get the care that she needs.
And I'll light one last candle for those joys and concerns we keep in our hearts today. Now let us take a minute and open our minds and hearts to the place of quiet, to the silent prayer for the healing of pain and the soft, gentle coming of love. please join us in our first hymn this morning? It's number 10,009 in our the new kind of aqua hymnal. We have a reading this morning. It's from the book, No Self, No Problem, the book from which Mark derived the sermon. And so I will read this short section from the book to get us started in the right frame of mind. I remember a very short quote from a Buddhist teacher, No Self, No Problem. It is really short, but true and very effective too. There is always struggle in our lives, either consciously or unconsciously. Many people in the world are going through struggles with social injustice, violence, and war. Even in the most prosperous countries, which are in some ways more fortunate because they enjoy many material comforts, people are still suffering. Some people feel that they don't have enough money, or that they are not beautiful or intelligent enough. They don't have an ideal relationship, or they're worried because they're not enlightened. Many people suffer because of anger, hatred, and judgment. All these problems spring from the mistaken notion of what and who we are. This idea of self, me, mine, is the source of our inner struggle. It is like an author creating relentless agony in our consciousness. When we go beyond the self, then we go beyond everything. We go beyond every form of struggle that we encounter in life. For example, when I meditate, if I am not really ready to melt the self, then I'm struggling. My ego is struggling. Well, I want to be enlightened. I want to have that bliss that he is talking about right now. I want to feel good. I want to have rapture, but it's not there. Time is running out. I want to transcend self, but it is not working very well. That's why I am kind of frustrated. I am struggling. So this kind of struggle is pervading almost every aspect of life. There are times when we are on the meditation cushion, where we are looking very holy, perfectly spiritual, and we are feeling blissed out. But sometimes we're so ordinary. We're talking on the phone, shouting loudly. We're quite angry at someone. It is amazing how many roles we go through in everyday life. When we sit on the meditation cushion, we are very holy. But when we are driving our car in traffic, talking on the phone, somebody cuts in front of us, we become very reactionary. We may even start cursing. We don't look at all like the guy who was sitting peacefully in meditation a few hours ago. The idea is that there is always struggle. There's always struggle in different forms. There's struggle when we are meditating, and there's struggle when we're not meditating, as long as the self is perceived to be real. When the self goes away, then we are already in paradise and there is nothing to do. There isn't anything to do and there isn't anything to acquire. So this should be our mantra for the rest of our life. No self, no problem. Keep this in mind. No self, no problem.
Thank you, John. Appreciate that.
Buddhism is inquiry. Now, this is not the intellectual inquiry we're so used to. This is not acquiring, it's eradication of self. You see, we have so many concepts of us, right? Some are true, some are false. So many of them are lies, right? Oh, we're too fat. Oh, we're too old. Oh, we're not beautiful. Or we are beautiful. We try to do everything to stay beautiful. Or we're really good, or we're really bad. All these lies we tell us ourselves in our heads. And it's to really shake all that out. Become just that inner self. Quiet. Divine. You know, maybe this analogy will help. For a long time, you might have believed many things to be true that we no longer do. Maybe we came from a Christian tradition and we thought, just like the Baptists that Doug's talking about, we're going to be up in heaven someday. Now maybe we don't think that. Maybe we don't think heaven is true at all. How about a simpler one? How about Santa Claus? Right? For a long time, when we were a little kid, we thought Santa was real. Nobody came up to us and said, well, Santa's not real. Right? But one day we figured it all out. Figured out, and he'd never been real. It was just a law. So it can be when we learn to not have self, let that self die. When we do this, we have power over death, which awaits all of us, right? We have power over that. We can experience our true nature. Each moment, right now, can be perfect, just as it is. Now is the time to wake up to that true nature, that divine nature that exists within each of you. What's holding you back?
I need a little more time to think about that. But we do have some time for a few minutes of polylog, and it sounds like some people had kind of experienced getting away from their self. I have not, but if anybody would like to share any thoughts about what we've heard today, just please be brief and pass the microphone around just like we did for joys and concerns, and interesting to hear your thoughts. Thank you, Mark.
Yes, Diane.
I think in some ways we all have experienced it when we've been very involved in a craft or in work or with a child, that there is no self. There is no thinking. There is just being. And I think that's a manifestation of it. I think it was excellent.
Good point. Thank you. In front of you, did you have?
I'm Barbara. And I've reached it in the past. I used to meditate like an hour a day. I just disappeared. The time would just fly. But then I lost it. And all this, and I can't seem to really get centered. And right now, it's just really difficult. Have you ever addressed that with anybody?
I have not. I mean, like I said, I've been in some different groups where I've learned to meditate, and I've always struggled. It seems for me, my mind is going and racing, or I fall asleep. Those are the two extremes. I don't know that, maybe sleep and rest, and Buddhism talks a lot about rest, and maybe that's, I don't know. But I can't give a lot of personal experience and wisdom behind what it takes to get there and the struggles to get there. So,
my name is Gus, and I made a couple banners back in the early 70s when I was going to Tallentine College down in Olympia Fields, south of Chicago. This was back in the day when college students were all getting burlap cloth, colored burlap cloth, and gluing letters to it and whatever, because it was really the in thing. And I had a theology teacher wanted me to do a couple of banners for both sides of the altar. And he said the first one should say, "Don't just do something." And then the other one would say, "Stand there." And I kind of like that. You know, in terms of the struggle, which I experience also, it's impossible for us to play leapfrog over ourselves. You need two people to be able to do that. And I think that the way I approach Buddhism and the negation of the self, it's the false self, that is to say, it's a self that I think I can posit or put out there or create as if I can create it from nothing. What I have to do is have confidence in my own being, that what I am now is the true self without being made or manufactured. To try to create something out of nothing, of course, would be making yourself equal to God. And of course, we can't see the universe through the eyes of God. We always see it through our own limited viewpoint. And simply acceptance of myself exactly as I am, I find that for me during meditation is the most helpful. No matter what my dad said to me, or no matter what somebody else tells me that I am, I have to let my own being manifest itself, and the words then just disappear as if they were a fog.
I think one of the best ways that kind of summarizes your banners and what you said too is a phrase that always sticks with me, that we're a human being, not a human doing. Because we always want to be doing. Right? What have we accomplished? We can't tell people, "What did you do the last 5 years while I rested?" It's so foreign to our culture, because we want to be doing. Even people retired like John have wood to chop and a house to maintain and your wife's going to be on you. What did you get done today, right? So, I mean, just go there.
So we were talking this past weekend about mindfulness, and I came to the conclusion that it's really mindlessness, which many of you that know me would assume that's pretty easy for me to get there. I think that the challenge in being, Mark, is getting the mind out of the way. We've seen each other on the golf course. We know the phrase, golf is 95% mental. But you realize when you play, it's 95% not thinking. And the struggle that I have is similar to what you described, and that is, how do you just be? How do you turn off all of those roles, all of those responsibilities, and maybe that's the lifelong struggle to become enlightened, is to be able to not be.
I'm Karen. For me, the only way to just be is to practice meditation. And then it gets easier to just be in other situations, it kind of comes to me. But one way that I've been able to just be is I studied Reiki with Laura, who's a master, and that's the one place when I'm doing Reiki with someone that I feel like I'm just not me. I'm just a vehicle for the energy to that person, and so that's pretty cool.
I have the mic. This is Susan. To talk about this is almost to intellectualize it, because it is
correct.
Truly a state of being and how you feel about life, I guess, and yourself. And it's not a constant. Even though I feel personally that I have attained a great sense of that, it came out of my personal journey, where I used to be in corporate, and I identified with that very much. I earned a lot of money. I did travel. I had a great experience. But because of the economy and whatnot, I became obsolete. And I struggled with that for 15 years to define who I was and why I was here and what my purpose was and all that. And as the end result of that, I can honestly say that I can always come back to this place of knowing my worth, my value, who I am, and having a sense of peace, even at those times when, as a new business owner now, I fear that the income's not going to be there. I fear that my employees aren't going to like me, and on and on and on. I can quickly identify those things and turn them off and come back to this great place of joy and peace that's there for me always.
Wow. Thank you. That was very well said.
My name's Kirsten, and this may seem very odd, but actually I have discovered the value of mindfulness driving the freeways of L.A. It's something that you are, if you've not experienced, it's extremely stressful, and if you can pull in those tools, it's amazing what can happen. Prior trip, I was driving at night, and I had an hour, 45-minute drive. I had 8 lanes of, on my side alone, of just looking at red lights. I thought, all right, just make a pattern out of this, and a lot of chanting. Downside of that is you may lose where you are and miss your turn, which I did, which then involved getting off the freeway, spending a little more mindful moments, getting back on, and still 2 exits later, getting where I need to be. And I used to be extremely critical of all these people on the freeway there. What are they doing here? Till I talked to somebody and they said, well, we have to. We cannot afford to live where we work. We don't choose this. It is just part of our life. So the past trip, I had 45-minute drive to the airport, so I gave myself 4 hours. And I was sitting in the freeway, totally stopped, with a lot of other people looking around, and I thought, yes, this is a great place to meditate, and it works, and I got to the airport just fine.
Wow. Great. You can put it in practice right there without being on a pillow in the dark and with a candle right on the freeway. Any other comments?
One more comment.
I am Barb. My process in all this is a little different, and mine is centered in my heart and being present, to be quiet and to be present rather than trying to get away, to go into what I'm attached to, my body, and to experience that and to love that and to give up judgment for that. And Reiki, because I was one of, I still am a student of Laura's, has really given me an incredibly, it really functions for me. And so I choose to live in my heart.
Thank you, everybody. I think we all learn a lot from each other, and this is great. So now we'll have our offering today. The offering is a sacrament of the Free Church. It is supported by voluntary generosity of all who join with us. The offering will now be given and received in grateful appreciation of our shared hopes and values. many of us find we can center ourselves with music. We have an affirmation in our hymnal. It's number 595. Let's read that together. It's from the Buddhism section. It's called Free from Suffering. May all sentient beings be well and enjoy the root of happiness, free from suffering and the root of suffering. May they not be separated from the joy beyond sorrow. May they dwell in spacious equanimity, free from fear and ignorance. And now our closing hymn is in the turquoise hymnal, number 1074.
Right away, and the third verse right away.
talked to Laura, a lot of you.